We continue. It is the Zach Gilb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. My next guest has been the head coach of the Baylor Bears with their men's basketball team since 2003. He cut down the nets, winning it all in 2021 in the NCAA tournament. And now he's the recipient of the 2023 Athletes in Action John Wooden Keys to Life Award. For more information, visit keystolife.us. And that is the head coach of Baylor in Scott Drew. Coach, first off, congratulations. Appreciate the time. How are you?
Well, thank you very much. It's great to be on your show. And I got a question for you. Do you like DeLisandro's or Chubby's Philly cheesesteak better?
Wow. You did some
I'm a DeLisandro's guy, so that's why I'm asking.
Well, I know the owners of DeLisandro's, so I'm a DeLisandro's guy.
DeLisandro's, okay.
Unbiasedly, DeLisandro's is the better cheesesteak. How about that, Coach? Doing a little research from my college days back when I was a Temple Owl.
Hey, by the way, what's your best Matt Rhule story before we go on?
Wow. So you know a lot about me then. My best Matt Rhule story.
Love Matt Rhule.
You know what? Probably when I was at a practice of his. He did like these 5:30 a.m. Coach Chaney style type of practices. And Coach, I'll be honest with you, I was probably hungover coming out of my fraternity house, waking up early to go to this practice. And he said to me, "You have to watch Hassan Reddick, 58. I had no clue who the heck he was. And now we all know what Hassan Reddick's gone on to do in the NFL.
Yep. I can tell you that's impressive. You were there for 5:30 practice. Yeah. I think I would have showed up a little late after stretching.
Yeah. As a college student, I don't know how the players ended up navigating through those practices.
Yeah.
So Coach Drew
has done a great job there and everywhere he's been.
Well, Coach, what does this mean to you? Obviously, we all know the importance that Coach John Wooden has had on this sport to win this award named after him. What does it mean to you?
Well, first of all, anytime you have your name associated with Coach Wooden, you know it's a great honor and you're extremely humbled and grateful. At the same time, we call them team awards at Baylor because we know that it takes a team to win. You have to have great coaches, great staff, administration, and obviously players. So very, very excited about that. And I love what the breakfast is about, what the whole event stands for.
When you look back at this season, I know you guys wanted to obviously go further in the NCAA tournament. You're just coming off the loss to Creighton, which has been an exceptional basketball team. How do you kind of reflect on this season that you guys just had?
Well, you know, in the NCAA tournament, everybody is upset except for one team. And we've been blessed to be that one team. And that's a heck of a feeling. At the same time, every tournament, there's highs and there's lows. And with us, we played a good first game. Second game, Creighton beat us. So you look back on the year, we were the 9th overall seed. Going into the year, we were the winningest Power 5 program in the country in the last 3 years. I think we might be first or second now. And then one of 3 or 4 teams to be a top 3 seed in the last 3 or 4 years. So a lot of consistency. Come tournament time, anything can happen, and that's why it's called March Madness. If they wanted the best teams to win, it'd be 3 out of 5 or 4 out of 7. But in a one-game, 40-minute time period with 18 to 23-year-olds, you don't know what's going to happen. So you want to be at your best. Creighton was better than us. They set an NCAA record, 22 free throws in a row, tied the record with Fordham in 1971. So the record was good enough to stand for over 50 years. So they really played well and earned the victory, and Coach McDermott does a great job.
Like you said, you've been on both sides of it. You've had the highest of highs in this sport, winning the NCAA championship a few years ago, and you guys just had a dominant run. All these years later, Coach Scott Drew, what's the lasting memory that you always hold on to with that group of guys that you won a championship with?
Well, being able to celebrate with them, not just the championship game, but the whole time in the bubble. I mean, we're the only team to ever win at the NCAA tournament in a bubble. So we got the blueprint for that, I guess. Really, when our coaching staff reflected back, the time we spent with them at meals and in our team room, that was probably the best because we had a great group. And part of the reason we won was a big reason they love one another. And teams that after a couple weeks in the bubble wanted to get away from each other, you knew they weren't going to win. They were ready to go home. But we were like, it's a blessing every game. We wanted to stay in the bubble. So just those relationships, they'll last a lifetime. As far as great memories, I think my first one was the 25th anniversary this year. My brother's shot Yes. To beat Ole Miss at Valparaiso. And it was one of those aha moments when they asked, well, what does your players think of that? And I started thinking that was 25 years ago. None of our guys were born then. So, man, I'm getting old.
So for you, when you win a national championship, obviously everyone praises the job that you did at your program. And we know the work that went into it when you had to take over the circumstances you did back in 2003. Now it's like bizarre because whenever a big job opens up, I always see your name, especially now in the gambling world, like right at the top of the odds. Is it bizarre to you when people ask you, why haven't you left it? And what is the reason why you've always wanted to remain at Baylor?
So they have gambling stuff on that too, huh?
Yeah, you could gamble on anything today.
Well, unfortunately for Vegas, because they usually know what they're talking about. So if they've lost some money if they bet on me because this year 20 here. I've really been blessed at Baylor to be able to be at a place where I've had two unbelievable athletic directors in Mac Rhodes. Our current athletic director's won athletic director of the year a couple times. He's the one that hired Matt Rhule. I mean, he's an unbelievable person to work under and for. And our president, Linda Livingstone, and her husband, Brad, played college basketball at Oklahoma State. They're unbelievable leaders for the university and great for the coaches because they really understand college athletics. So when you're in a place that you like the leadership, you like the community, you love what the school stands for, we're the largest Baptist school in the nation. Denominations don't matter, but we get to prepare champions for life. And that's spiritual, it's academic, it's character formation along with athletic. And to see our players play professionally and then be successful husbands and fathers and have careers after that and be able to be a part of that, that's what makes coaching so fun.
Just wondering, since we started this conversation, you bring it up, Matt Rhule. Obviously, there's been a lot of good coaches at Baylor, Kim Mulkey as well. I was joking around with Dave Aranda after you won the Big 12 championship. Coach, you won. You're allowed to smile now and not be so serious on the sideline. What do you kind of learn from someone in a different sport like a Dave Aranda or women's basketball in a Kim Mulkey you had a long relationship with?
Well, the great thing is there's so many outstanding coaches and leaders that have come through Baylor, and you can learn from watching practices just how they conduct things. You can watch how they run their programs. I know our head coaches' meetings, we share different ideas, and that's been very educational for me. But what you love being in a smaller school like this is you spend a lot of time with people. And when you spend those times where you're able to pick their brain, there's a lot of things I've taken from all different sorts of coaches that have been successful at Baylor. And that could be spiritual, academic advice, could be character, team building, to running competitive drills and their philosophy on eating, sleeping, whatnot. So thanks for asking. Coach Rhule, basketball coaches, football coaches always spend a lot of time together. And I spent time with him and learned from him and was cheering hard for him in the NFL. Hopefully we don't ever play Nebraska. Dave Rand is an outstanding coach, someone that is one of the smartest people in the profession. And I can tell you that just how he runs their program, it's really impressive how detail-oriented he is. And obviously, Coach Mulkey won a couple championships here and ran an outstanding program, as did other sports that have been ranked number one or won national championships here.
So you obviously know Jerome Tang very well. He was worked with you all the way since you guys started at Baylor at 2003. How has he been able to do what we're seeing out of his Kansas State basketball program? Because, Coach, March is all about special stories. This is just truly a remarkable story, what he's done in year one.
Well, first, Coach Tang and I were together for 19 years, and he loves to eat as much as I do. Now, I think he likes chubbies a little bit more. So,
we got to knock some sense into him, all right?
we got to keep working on him. But I can tell you that there was no surprise for me that he was going to be as successful as he's been. Obviously, you can't predict when you're going to win National Coach of the Year, and he should win that, and he's got my vote. What's great about the staffs that I've been able to work with at Baylor, we all learn from each other, and Coach Driscoll was the first one to leave. at North Florida and did a great job early on there. And their program continues to evolve, and he's a great leader of men. And Coach McCaslin is one and been in the tournament and won in the tournament. Coach Mills at Oral Roberts, been in the tournament, won in the tournament. And then Coach Tang already in the Sweet 16, hoping we see him in Houston in the Final Four.
Wrapping up with Scott Drew, UCLA Gonzaga, you've seen both of those programs this year. We all remember the last time they met in NCAA tournament. I can't wait for that matchup coming up later in the week, Coach.
Well, there's a lot of matchups you can't wait for, and that's what makes March Madness March Madness. Whenever you think that there's a game that's going to be boring or that's an easy win, those are usually where the upsets occur. So, again, that's why it's so hard to – I mean, you think about it. Every year after the first weekend, nobody's got a perfect bracket. That's I mean, that just tells you how hard – there's over 5 million brackets filled out and zero perfect after the first weekend again this year. I mean, that's the parity and how hard it is to win in this tournament.
Well, the parity is such a neat thing because now it's three straight years of 15 taken down to two. We've seen two 16s now beat a one. It really makes you feel like any school has a shot to win a game in this tournament now.
100%. And there's so many good basketball players, so many good coaches, so many good programs with the COVID year. At the end of the day, I always tell our freshmen, what 13-year-old has beaten you? And, I mean, 18-year-olds are going against 23-year-olds. I mean, the playing field is level.
Last thing I'll ask you, just inside your conference, Rodney Terry had to take over during some tough circumstances. Texas hasn't missed a beat. Just as a coach, Scott Drew, what impressed you about what Coach Terry's been able to do?
Well, first, he's in the Big 12, so Big 12, we stick together right now, and hopefully they win a championship while they're in the Big 12. When they go to the SEC, we won't cheer for them anymore. But the one thing that Coach Terry has done is the team, once Coach Beard left, stayed together and continued to improve and get better, because teams that don't improve throughout the year are done playing, and they've gotten better. We split with them this year, and I thought just what he's been able to do and not miss a beat. It's a great staff they have, and they put together a great roster. So it's fun to watch.
Well, he's a DeLisandros man. Yeah, right. He's a DeLisandros man. He's a national champion. He's also the 2023 winner of the Coach Wooden Keys to Life Award. He is Scott Drew. Coach, great to reconnect to you. Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Appreciate you. And we like recruiting out there, and we like eating out there. So we'll be back.
Anytime you're in the New York Philly area, let me know. Thanks so much, Coach.
There he is, Scott Drew, joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. How about that hickey? He came prepared with cheesesteak and Matt Rule facts about yours truly. That was impressive.
I am very impressed. Now, you rarely see the coach doing the homework the other way. Usually it's, you know, the interviewer doing the homework, not the interviewee. Impressive there by Coach Drew.
When he led me off with DeLisandros or Chubbies, I was like, oh, wow, this is impressive there by Coach Drew. That's what you expect out of a championship-winning coach. And we all know the great job that he's done at Baylor with the circumstances that he had to take over in 2003 and then to see where that program is and then 2 years ago winning the national championship. Just a marvelous job that he's done. And he's always one of those names whenever a big job opens that his name gets thrown out there, and he's not left yet. And I think it would take a special job for him to leave with what he's built at Baylor. Okay, we'll take a timeout. When we come on back, we'll do a little bit more on Austin Eckler, and we'll delve into another pretty big story as well, and that is the reaction of Nick Saban and how it relates to Nate Oates. We'll get into all that when the Zach Gelb Show continues in 5 minutes.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
All righty, so we haven't really heard much movement on the Austin Eckler front. And Austin Eckler was doing an interview with Chris Long on the Greenlight podcast. And right now the situation is the Chargers are not willing, or they have not met a good number on a contract extension for Austin Eckler, who we know how important he is to the success of the Chargers. So he asked for permission to seek a trade. The Chargers granted him that permission. And Hickey, from everything that I've read so far, it seems like nothing's really moved on that front. So I don't know what the demands are of Austin Eckler. He definitely deserves a raise of what he's currently getting right now. But you just saw Brandon Cooks get traded again for basically nothing. There hasn't really been much movement. I know these are receivers. DeAndre Hopkins as well. We haven't heard much on that front. And Austin Eckler is an incredible playmaker. He does not, he's not someone that has a lot of wear and tear on that body. And he's really taken the league by storm the last 3 years. I don't want to say this is surprising because it's the nature of the position and a lot of teams that win go running back by committee now. But the fact that we've reached a stalemate really in the Austin Eckler negotiations and no one's really bit on the outside. And then the alternative is, okay, you're negotiating with the Chargers, but if another team doesn't bite, you really don't really have much of a leg to stand on, and you don't really have much leverage. It seems like we've reached a dead end period, and then all of a sudden, Austin Eckler is doing an interview where I don't know what he's trying to accomplish in the interview. He's very transparent. He's been very kind to us before, but you're truly, clearly trying to maybe pick up the intensity or pick up the interest from the talks from some of those other teams.
I think at this point, in part because the free agency class was so bad that I think a lot of teams were not really that interested in making a lot of moves, I think we'll see more teams being active in trades and acquisitions and talking to guys like Austin Eckler and Lamar Jackson draft time.
Yeah,
that's really where I think now that you get to the draft, you see how the board unfolds. Now, okay, that's a second-round pick going to get traded for, let's say, Austin Eckler, maybe a first, who knows, we'll see. I think that's when we'll kind of get intensity picked up. Because really, right now, there's no reason for any team to kind of rush to either meet the demands of the Chargers or even Austin Eckler.
And last year, you also got to remember a player like A.J. Brown, who got traded on draft night, and then they figured out the contract shortly after that. But you, if you know you're trading for Austin Eckler, you have to have some idea of what he wants. And when you make that deal, unless it's really nothing what you're trading up to get, you got to know what he's wanting and in the ballpark of what he's wanting, and you have to be willing to do that if you're bringing him in, because I think a lot of people would assume whoever trades for Austin Eckler, they're giving him a restructure, a modification, or just a brand new contract, you know, from basically its entirety of the situation.
And if you're the Chargers and you're okay with trading him, you're giving up a guy that has been a touchdown machine the last 2 years. I think it's, what, 38 touchdowns the last 2 years. So you could argue no one's been more productive from a running back perspective. You want also proper value. I get the running back has been devalued, but if you're going to trade Austin Eckler, you better get second-round pick at least.
Well, it's devalued by some teams. I don't think the Chargers can devalue him because outside of Justin Herbert, on the offensive side of the ball, he is their most valuable player. He is that good, and especially in some of these big games too. How many times do we talk about him getting like two or three touchdowns in some of those big games? And Mike Williams, Keenan Allen, both injury prone. I get it. You found a way to bring back Mike Williams last year when a lot of us thought he was going to go somewhere else. Keenan Allen restructured that contract when a lot of people thought he was on his way out. So they have prioritized keeping Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. You can't pay everybody. But I do think it would be a bad decision by the Chargers when you have a window to win and you have a window to strike. Now, you can also argue, like I did yesterday, Lorenzo Neal, you have a window here, but you do have the Chiefs right in your way, and it's going to be very tough. But you got to go for it, and if you get rid of Austin Eckler, I do think that makes your team worse, and I would not be messing with that right now on the offense side of the ball, where at least you know that's working well for you and Brandon Staley eventually has to fix his defense and make sure that defense gets moving in a better direction.
And this just reiterates why so many teams and so many people always talk about winning on that rookie contract, because I think you
which
can put two and two together. Okay, they don't want to pay Austin Eckler. Justin Herbert's extension eligible. I would expect a contract extension at some point this offseason. I would say the two are tied hand in hand, or one has to do with the other.
And you know what it makes me think of too? Cincinnati. And Cincinnati has more elite talent. You know Joe Burrow is going to get the bag just like Justin Herbert's going to get the bag. I don't know what's going on with Joe Mixon, but you look at the receivers there, Ja'Marr Chase is better than Keenan Allen and Mike Williams. T. Higgins can be a number one wide receiver on a lot of other teams in the NFL. You have Tyler Boyd, who's your third wide receiver right now. If we're already seeing these problems pop up with the Chargers, and Austin Eckler may or may not be the odd guy out, what happens with the Bengals in the next 2 years and how these contracts are figured out really could dictate the future success and how dominant the Bengals can be, where you know they're going to pay Burrow and Chase, And I know, right, Duke Tobin made it clear T. Higgins isn't going anywhere, but are you going to have that same energy when it comes to the point of figuring out that contract when T. Higgins is going to get a, you would think, command a pretty top dollar?
And that's the thing. It's, I mean, you would think Ja'Marr Chase would get about $30 million a year when his contract is up, because that's what Tyreek Hill got, and he is one of the best receivers in the NFL, so he is on that level. And Joe Burrow is going to reset the market somewhere, whether he takes him a home deal and spreads it out over 10 years and keeps, you know, the Bengals cap eligible, whether it's a shorter-term deal like what Dak Prescott did and go 4 or 5 years and get back on the market at age 28, 29, or I guess he's a little bit older, so 29, 30. I would guess Joe Burrow would go more than Mahomes' route. A lot of money, but over a very long period of time, so the cap hit's not that big, and you are able to retain most of the team. Not all the team, more players than you would if you just go and say, I'm just going to max it out and get as much as I can.
And with these void years, there's ways to maneuver around it. But if I'm the Bengals, I think I have to keep Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. And I feel really good long-term that they'll be able to keep Burrow and Chase. I think Higgins is the wild card. Because does he eventually want to be that number one wide receiver somewhere else? And what is the cost for T. Higgins? I think are going to be two big answers to how long they're going to be able to keep that trifecta together.
And the Chiefs just showed you could pay two elite guys. It's really hard to pay three. You kept Travis Kelce, you kept Patrick Mahomes. When it comes to Tyreek Hill, they said, we can't afford you.
Let's listen up to Austin Eckler. He says he holds no ill will towards the Chargers. This is courtesy of the Greenlight Pod.
I think it's actually really important to kind of put out there that it's not like, oh, I hate the Chargers and I need to get out of this organization and I need to leave. Like, that's couldn't be further from the truth. Like, I would like to stay if it was under the right circumstances. It was put out there that the Chargers kind of put a block on the talks of extension. And so I was like, okay, well, if you don't see me in your long-term future right now, then give us opportunity to go talk and see if someone else might. So that's how I see it. It's literally has nothing to do with the relationship. Like I've made a great relationship there, like grown there. That's where I started. Right. And so I want to be there. But on the right terms.
So where are the talks with the other teams? That's the thing for me. And we had so many running backs, whether it's smaller deals like a Rashad Penny or Deontay Foreman or David Montgomery this year that get deals, or if it's more lucrative like a Miles Sanders or whatever it may be that have been handed out already, in a position now that's usually viewed as by running back by committee. Like even the Bills, they just brought in Damian Harris. I'd rather have Austin Eckler than Damian Harris, but does that take him out of the Austin Eckler market? Or are the Bills just not in the market? Because we sat here and we said McCaffrey. They didn't elect to do that even with the Brandon Bean connection. They didn't get that deal done. So is Austin Eckler even in play? And if it's not Austin Eckler, I think the Dolphins could be interested, but that may be a long shot with the moves that they've made recently in terms of contracts. And I looked at the odds. I saw the Broncos had the third highest odds, but you really going to want to do that deal in division? That does close the gap a little bit when you look at the Broncos and the Chargers when you're chasing for that two spot. So, Hickey, it's kind of like you're in a weird waiting spot right now with Austin Eckler.
Again, I don't think there's any motivation right now for teams to, you know, try to get a deal done. Also, too, I think a lot of teams are right now scouting for the draft. So you're worried about, you know, draft prospects. Are you worried about right now in Austin Eckler? Maybe see how the board goes. Maybe if you are a team that's eyeing Bijan Robinson, he gets taken before you think. Okay, now pivot Austin Eckler. Like, I just think at this point, there's just a lot going on where no one's focusing right now on Austin Eckler specifically. I think, again, a month from now, we'll kind of see the attention and the market kind of ratchet up.
This is Lorenzo Neal, who says the Chargers need to keep Austin Eckler. This was, of course, on our show, the Zach Gelb Show, last night right here on CBS Sports Radio.
I mean, come on, look what the guy's doing for this team, you know, as far as touchdown machine. So you look at it, yes, there are some guys that you can't replace. I get it. But Austin Eckler is the offensive guy to me that's been consistent. Keenan, you know, had some injuries. Keenan Iyer is a good receiver. Love the guy. He's a possession receiver. But to me, like you said, Herbert needs Austin Eckler because he is that security blanket and that safety blanket that Justin Herbert needs.
It's a very fair point. You know how reliable Eckler's been and how much he's produced. This is nothing against Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, but they miss games. And when they're only getting older, I know Mike Williams is not an old man, but you would expect that to continue to pop up to be a problem. I would not mess up outside of Herbert, your most consistent piece on the offensive side of the ball. And I would find a way to figure out this relationship. And Austin Eckler basically even said it. It's not me hating the Chargers. Relationship's not over. He just wants to get paid. Now, how flexible will he be in those contract talks? That's big, but the Chargers also have to be flexible too. Because he even said it. Negotiations have pretty much been cut off and have been tabled on the talks of a contract extension. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. The man that is leading one of the best stories in college basketball, Jerome Tang, with the Kansas State basketball program, was picked to finish last before the season started in his first year on the job in the Big 12. They're now in the Sweet 16. He's going to stop by when we come on back.
Planning a wedding can be intimidating, but finding the perfect suit shouldn't be. Indochino makes it easy to get a fully customized suit right from home. With dozens of high thread count fabrics, patterns, and colors to choose from, Indochino lets you fine-tune every detail and design a suit tailored perfectly to your body and your personality. Set up your measurement profile on Indochino's website and choose fabric and customizations without leaving the house. Or book a showroom appointment and let Indochino's dedicated style guides help you and your wedding party look flawless for the big day. Their experts have been dressing grooms and groomsmen since 2007. And with suits starting at just $4.99 and fitted shirts at $89, Indochino is bespoke without the premium price tag. Get a wedding suit as unique as you with Indochino. Go to Indochino.com and use code PODCAST to get 10% off any purchase of $3.99 or more. That's Indochino.com, promo code PODCAST.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
There's the inbound. They get it to Fierro, a high arcing three at the buzzer, and it's over. K-State beats Kentucky 75-69. The team from the Little Apple is headed to the Big Apple to play in the Sweet 16.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
We continue. It is the Zach Gelb Show coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. How about the story of the Wildcats of Kansas State? Just unbelievable. Before the year, picked to finish last in the Big 12, and now they're going to be dancing coming up on Thursday night in the Sweet 16 at Madison Square Garden up against Tom Izzo of Michigan State. The head coach at Kansas State is Jerome Tang in his first year, and he's kind enough to join us right now on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Coach, first off, congratulations. I would ask you how you're doing, but I think I know the answer to that one.
Hey, Zach, thank you for having me on. You're absolutely right. Doing wonderful. We're in New York City right now, and very excited to be here.
How do you process going to the Sweet 16? You've had a few days after the Kentucky game. Just how do you process it, Coach, what your group has accomplished?
You're obviously excited about what's been accomplished, but there's still so much more work to do. And so we took a brief time to celebrate it, together and enjoy what's been accomplished. But then it's about getting refocused and realizing that, we have other goals that we want to accomplish. And so to do that, we've got to get locked in and get the laser focus that the guys had in order to get to this point.
How do you explain, Coach, your team's success this year and your number one?
Man, great chemistry and crazy faith. We say all the time that, what people call crazy, one day they'll call faith another, and for us, we call it crazy faith, and just a faith in each other, a faith in the God that we serve, just a faith that in our hard work, and that if we trust and believe each other, and to just stay together and work every day to get 1% better, that we could be where we're at. And I can't tell you at the beginning of the year that we thought we'd be here, but I thought we could be an NCAA tournament team. And then once you get into the tournament, anything can happen.
So when did you know that, hey, this group is probably better than what people were talking about them before the year?
Well, I knew we were better than I said to myself when they picked us last in the Big 12. I said, well, there are going to be 10 teams in the Big 12 that go to the NCAA tournament, because I thought I knew what an NCAA tournament team looked like from my time at Baylor. And I thought we had that. And so it just meant that our league was really, really good. When we went to the Caymans and we won those three games in 3 days, that said a lot about our toughness and our resilience and, you know, just the chemistry that we had. And then the road trip to open the Big 12 when we went to Texas and to Baylor and won those two big games, you know, that really raised the bar for what we could accomplish this year.
This is your first year at Kansas State. We know the nature of the sport, a lot of transfers moving in and out of the program. It's never easy to build trust when we're talking about a coach with players. How did you build that trust, what seemed to be very quickly here in your number one?
Well, I try to be real transparent in recruiting. And, you know, if you tell kids the truth and they don't come, you can live with it. And when you tell them the truth and they come and you keep your word, then they can live with that too. And so we just try to be really honest in recruiting because kids have the right to go wherever they want to go now. It's free agency. And if you lie to them, they're going to be out the door. And so we just laid out to them, tell them they got to get better. We try to find guys who have winning DNA. They've won in high school or college. And because guys who have won before, they understand that there's a sacrifice that has to take place for your team to win. And we felt like we put the right set of guys together.
Jerome Tang here with us. Kansas State Thursday night at Madison Square Garden up against Michigan State. We always talk about culture, coach, and a lot of times people don't explain their culture. So what is the culture of your program when you're talking to these recruits? So they ask you, what can I expect if I go and commit to Kansas State?
Well, man, my faith is extremely important to me. And you know, Jesus came to serve. And so I see that leadership is service. And my job is to serve and love our guys. And that when they leave here, they know that they were loved and they were cared for. We tell our guys we want to do things out of a motive of love, not out of a motive of hate. And too many people talk about guys, people who didn't believe in them, you know, and that motivates them. We want to be motivated by the people that believe in us. And the second thing, so we're going to play with love and we're going to play with joy. And joy for me means Jesus first, others second, yourself last. And finally, guys are going to know they're going to get to play with freedom. You know, if you come in and you work hard and you put in the time in the gym, on game day, you're going to be able to play free and be yourself. And so we try to keep it simple. And it's hard, right? Basketball is a very simple game, but it's hard to do simple. And so we just try to do simple a little bit better.
You had to wait a long time for this opportunity, Coach Jerome Tang. You were at Baylor from 2003. Up until last year when you took this job at Kansas State, did you ever doubt that you would become a head coach one day with how long you had to wait?
Yeah, you know, you obviously have doubts. But, you know, probably about 4 or 5 years ago, I just told the Lord, I said, God, if you just want me to be an assistant coach for the rest of my life, I'm good with it because I felt I had the best job in America. And if you want me to get out of coaching altogether and do something totally different, I was good with that. And I think when I resolve myself to the fact that a head coach title didn't define me as a man, but my faith in Christ and the way that I impact people's life, that's what does. And, you know, I was able to relax and become a better person, hopefully a better husband, father, and a better coach. And so I was really more prepared for this opportunity that came along because of that. And during that time, God blessed me to be able to win two Big 12 championships and a national championship. And so I wouldn't have changed that the way I got here and how long it took for anything.
We all know waiting stinks, and I'm a very impatient person, Coach. But I do think when you have to wait longer than you should have, when you finally get that opportunity, it motivates you, I think, a little bit more to prove people wrong and what they were missing out on for all those years.
You know, I try to tell our guys, let's not prove people wrong. Let's prove people right. And it's the people that I've had a lot of people that believed in me, and they felt like I deserved the opportunity a long time ago. And those are the people that I'm hoping that, you know, I'm validating their thoughts and their compliments and their belief in me, not invalidating those who maybe didn't.
Well, we had Scott Drew on, who I know is one of your biggest supporters, and you guys have a very close relationship. And earlier he told me you should win the National Coach of the Year. When you hear that, what does that mean to you?
It means that I had a guy who went from being, you know, a colleague to a boss and a colleague to being a friend and a brother that did a great job of helping prepare me for this opportunity. It means that I coach really, really good players who you know, had a great season. And it means that I have the best staff in America because they do an unbelievable job and make me look really good. And so I always say it's a team, a staff, and a coaching tree honor right now. And it just speaks volume of who Scott Drew is as a person.
How did you guys initially link up at Baylor?
Man, he got the job at Baylor, and somebody that knew me and knew him called him about me, and he told him he already knew he was going to hire. And then he spoke to someone else, and they mentioned my name. And he spoke to someone else, and they mentioned my name. And so after hearing my name three times, he felt, let me do a little research on this. And then I reached out to him because he had a foreign kid that had committed to him. And at the time, the prep school, the private school I coached at, we had an I-20. We brought in foreign kids. And so I reached out to him about that young man coming over from Africa. And we got to talking, and he asked me about meeting with him, and I refused to meet with him. And whenever you tell Scott Drew no, it just drives him crazy. So he did everything in his power to make sure that we got to meet. And, you know, and then thanks. My dad told him to come have dinner with me, and he came to my house and met my wife and my son, who was two at the time, and, you know, and then felt comfortable offering me the job. And now the rest is history.
Coach, before we let you run, Jerome Tang here with us in his first year in the Sweet 16. Kansas State will play Michigan State coming up Thursday evening at Madison Square Garden. I want to ask you about some of your players. We all remember the scary situation in 2020 with Keontae Johnson when he collapsed during a game at Florida, and now he's with your program, and he's having a sensational season. Can you just discuss what you've seen from Keontae this year and just your relationship with him?
You know, obviously the stuff that everybody's seen, the numbers he's put up and big shots he's made, and everybody sees that, and that's been wonderful, and so thankful that he's been able to play the game that he loves again, and, you know, be able to pursue his into the NBA. But what I've been most impressed with is what he does off the court with his teammates, the time he spends with them, how he's such a great teammate. I tell you, he's just an unbelievable human being and a pleasure to coach. And I can't brag on him enough on what he does. I mean, from he spends time with our walk-ons, he goes to school and reads the kids, he you know, spends time in the community, and every day he's extremely thankful for the opportunity he's been given, and we're just blessed to be around him.
The first thing I realize about Marquise Noel when I watch him, he has tremendous grit and heart. How do you kind of look back at what you guys have been able to do together this year with Marquise?
Oh, he is. He's big heart, super competitive, right? So, and just has this, some people say it's a chip. We say it's a boulder on his shoulder. And I absolutely love coaching him because he's got a world of confidence, and there's nothing on the court he doesn't think he can't do, and there's I love watching him play post defense because everybody in America tries to post him up, and you just can't do it. He's going to fight you. Like, he'll foul you before he lets you post him up. And that kind of competitiveness, man, you can win with him. So thankful that he's my point guard.
I saw after the game, Coach Calipari, after he did a number on Kentucky, called him that little kid. I guess Marquise now has talked with Coach Cal. What happened there, and how'd you kind of react to that one after Coach Cal called him that little kid?
Yeah, I heard the comment, and initially you were a little taken back by it. I all the credit in the world to Coach Calipari because he realized that maybe what he said was offensive. Calling him a little kid was his term of endearment, because he has a little point guard in Xavier Wheeler also. And so it was probably for him a term of endearment where somebody else might have taken it as an insult, but Coach Cal reached out to him and apologized and talked to him. So it just shows what a great human being Coach Calipari is and why he's such a great coach and so successful.
Before we let you run, Jerome Tang is having a remarkable year one at Kansas State. Michigan State coming up Thursday night at Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena. You always know that Coach Izzo's teams are going to come prepared. What stands out to you the most with Michigan State?
Well, they've got the Coach Izzo toughness about them, man. They're going to fight you for every inch. They're going to bump every cut. They're going to, they contest everything and just really get after you. The two guards, man, they're really good. And the Hauser kid is shooting like 90% from three in the last five games. It doesn't look like he misses. And they're just, they have really, they're really embodied who we all have known Tom Izzo to be over all these years. Just really tough, really smart, play together. And I'm a huge fan of Tom Izzo, always have been. He's always been really kind to me when I was an assistant, and just honored to be able to, you know, stand across from him and our team compete against each other. You know, I told somebody the other day, you know, I really wish it was me and Coach Izzo playing one-on-one. You know, I wouldn't do a free throw contest with him, though. I've seen him shoot free throws. He doesn't miss. And so, but, you know, it's going to be our teams playing against each other. So that's going to be a lot better for everybody.
I love that answer. Well, Coach, continue success. It's been awesome watching your team. Good luck the rest of the way. And enjoy this coming up on Thursday night. Appreciate you doing this.
Hey, thanks a lot, and go Cats.
Great stuff there with Jerome Tang. That has to be one of the best stories in college basketball this year. Like, you just look at this tourney. Princeton being in the Sweet 16 probably does top it just because they're a 15. But for Kansas State, I know that they're a 3 in the tourney, but to be predicted to finish in last place of the Big 12 before the start of the year and then be here, that's just really special. And you know what I kind of realized during that conversation? When it's a new coach that comes in, and now in this landscape, Hickey, of the transfer portal and how common it is for players to leave, I think coaching now in college basketball is more important than ever. Not only to get guys to stay or attract new guys in, but to build the chemistry. When you could have guys that have a lot of experience just coming into a program, and that to me, and getting those guys to stay, and having someone genuine like Jerome Tang, I think helps ease that process where you get a success story like this in year number one.
Oh, yeah, because it's not about just adding the players. It's also about, like I said, making them and having them mesh together and playing, you know, cohesive basketball. It's a lot easier said than done.
And don't get me wrong. I'm not playing a small violin here for guys like Roy Williams and Coach K and Jay Wright, but I understand now why they get out of the game, even when you feel like they could keep on coaching. Because even though it's adapting with the times and some guys are up for it, like Coach Jim Larrañaga, who made that clear when he joined us before the first round of the NCAA tournament, there's a lot more now on your plate where if you have all that money, you probably think, okay, I'm good. I had enough. Time to wrap it up.